Just stretch our hands towards my brother. Father God, you are the author and finisher of this man. And this is the day that you have chosen for him to share from his heart. We're asking for the grace that he needs, Lord Jesus, and just pour out of him what you've stored up in him, so that as he is poured out, others will be filled in. Amen?
Amen. So as that line is coming out.
Yeah. Just amazes me. Last time I was put in this position, we had the same capacity crowd.
Great. Number 7.
Great. Yeah. We're back at the Econo Lodge, and it was done during Tabernacles. Only there was only one female there last time.
Oh, no, we got abundance.
We're outnumbered, guys. By one. Well, pastor came up to me, what was it, a week and a half ago, and said, I'd like you to pray. I feel you're supposed to be speaking at the feast. I don't know when. And I'm sitting there. I says, oh, that confirms, because I know I'm supposed to, too, but I don't want to. But here I am. I had a unique week and a half preparation. Okay, pastor. Yes. So anyways, I had an interesting week and a half preparation. I would work, get home, be exhausted, fall asleep. When I would go upstairs, I would open up the Bible and read, and it would be all in Greek, which isn't too bad. I understand some Greek, but not that much. I don't read much of it. But I kept on coming back to one theme, and this is something that we have various age groups here, and for the first time in a while, Mary and I are the youngest. We love it. That doesn't happen very often anymore. And one of the things that I really wanted to go over and I was thinking about was when my grandmother was getting ready to pass away, she was sitting in the corner of the house, rocking herself back and forth. And I'm thinking to myself, she's trying to rock herself to sleep. And I said, Grandmother, what are you doing? And she says, well, I'm just thinking of everything that has happened in my life. And I said, how do you mean? The good, the bad? No. Inventions. She remembers growing up in Canada and going down street to see the electric light. Come on. She said, that was nice, but not very practical. She says, it was more practical to have indoor plumbing. She said, you know, electric light is nice, but kerosene was cheap. And I thought about that, and I pondered that for a little bit. And, you know, and she had a very valid point. She said during the wintertime, the outhouse would be within 50 to 100 feet of the house. Closer in the winter than in the summer for two very obvious reasons. She said if you got up at night and you had to utilize the facility, you had to really think about if you had to do this. Then you'd get dressed, run out there at 3 o'clock in the morning in a snowstorm, whatever, hit that door and realize somebody was already in there. She said, not bad, because you just waited. You had a warm seat. But with the advent of, well, I guess for us it is humorous, because we get mad if the bathroom seat is cold in a house. Can you imagine in Canada with the wind howling in the middle of winter? That's just a minor little thing, but the electric light has come up. What about microwave ovens? How about television? I mean, I'm sure you can go through your heads and think of a lot of things that you have today, like I thought about in the car today. Ladies, any of you, save you, because you're just not quite there yet. Think about when you were in elementary school. If I would have said to you, or someone would have said, you would have a computer in your house, you would cook without fire, you know, what would you say? How about walking around the house with a telephone with no wires? You would have said it's impossible. When I was, I thought about something that way back when, back in the 60s, they knew what microwaves were, but they did not know, only a handful of people knew what a microwave was. they didn't have any concept for it to be used for cooking. They're trying to figure out how to use it for communication. Now, microwave is a common everyday occurrence. And in the advent for all this stuff has been the ability to harness electricity. How much has electricity made a difference in our life? Without it, how far could you go today? No cars, no nothing without electricity. Kids today would not know how to survive. No Nintendo, no cable, no internet. God help us. You know? I mean, with that came a very dramatic change within the human race as well as the church. Speaking of electronic devices. Now, the question I have is this. Is what kind of an impact did it really have on society? Was it plus, negative, and on the church? What can we do today that, because we've all heard people say, boy, if I was around when Jesus was around, I would be different. How? You wouldn't know how to survive. Number one. Number two, they had less knowledge about Jesus and about the Word of God than we do right now. Now, you think about that. You look at Peter, and you know, everyone judged Peter. Hey, he sank when he got out of the boat. Yeah, he got out of the boat. The rest of them stayed in. I mean, today, who would get out of the boat and walk on the water? Not me. I know I wouldn't step out. Not initially. The point is that we have reached a point where, back then, how many people could read? Very few. And that was the thing that blew the Romans' mind, is that even the Jewish women can read and write. It wasn't the norm. We have the written word today. How many languages? How many languages are there in the world? In our country alone, how many English Bibles are there? We can't even begin. I brought this Bible to Pastor Kim last year. Translation is called God's Word. How did I find that translation? Was I bought a little chip from my Palm Pilot that had like, what we count, 10 different Bibles in it. Stick it in there and hit it. That's why sometimes you think I'm playing with my Palm Pilot. No, I'm going through the Word. I've got 10 Bibles in there. And I'm reading because sometimes I forget my Bible, but I've always got my Palm Pilot in the car because of work. It's in God's Word. I read that translation. Oh, my God. And it's in plain English. Well, that's just one translation. You have the King James, the New King James, the Modern King James, the NIV, ISV, the Amplified, and it goes on and on and on and on. If you cannot read God's Word, you have CDs. Right? You can get CDs on any subject in the Bible, including CDs and books on CDs, books about books about books about books about the Bible. Every subject matter can be brought into depth, into detail about God, love. Well, right here, Passover, any subject matter we want. And if you don't like listening to CDs, you can't read, everything is on DVD and can be acted out for us. You want to learn about Matthew, go down to a Christian bookstore and you can get a little thing called the Matthew. And it's the whole chapter of Matthew. You want to learn about Jesus? There's that wonderful DVD and or VCR tape called Jesus. Used worldwide as an evangelistic tool. What am I getting up to here? We have, this generation has zero excuse for not knowing something, for not being able to get a message out somehow. You need to know something, there is a resource. And in this country, we have churches everywhere. Whether or not it's a church that'll get you what you need, you can always get in the direction and the step. You know what I'm saying? We will be a generation, what I consider, if there was ever a name for this, a generation without excuse. We have the ability, we have the means, and we have the responsibility to dig, to learn and to, how'd Doug say, burst out, you know, for no better term. And I started thinking about this. It, with all this modern technology to do this, if that alone would be a nail in the coffin if we were lazy. But that's not the point where I'm going to. I want to read, now everything I'm grabbing, because I got it, was from the this translation here, God's Words translation. If you want to, you can go to 1 Kings chapter 10, or chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Now, we all know the story of Solomon's temple. We know it took a while to build. It was beautiful. Today, I understand there is a wall left of it. The Wailing Wall. But in its day, it was the place to be. A quick little side note, they had how many different musicians? I mean, they had orchestra. I mean, they had, Kim, I don't know. You know, you were there. They had what? Flutes, lyres, harps. They had brass. They had drums. And this was, and they had what? Hundreds of teachers to teach people how to play the instruments. And it was their full-time job. And now that was just to be able to do the function within the temple. And as the side note is that most of the other societies then were beating drums and dancing around fire pits. God had an orchestra. They built this temple, and from what I read from the Word, the amount of animals at the dedication that were sacrificed were not able to be counted. The end result was, when the priest left the holy place, a cloud filled the Lord's temple. The priest could not serve because of the cloud. The Lord's glory filled his temple. That glory was so intense, these men could not go in there and function. Whether they were drunk or just could not penetrate, that's up to the reader. I don't know if someone has another, how that reads in other translations, because I did not cross-reference it. Now, if that's what happened, what is God's glory? Anyone have a snippet they want to throw out? What is the glory of God? That is one of many, because I looked it up, and I could not believe the difference. When you look up glory, it's unbelievable. It's everything from what you just said to radiance, to presence, to his total makeup. I've heard people say that it was also, could be likened to the Holy Spirit. You know, whatever it is, the glory is, it's intense. Remember, Moses could not look upon the glory. He had to look at, he had to turn away and look at the backside. Couldn't even get the full glimpse of it. Another gentleman talked about being in the presence of God, being up in heaven, and he saw that glory. And he said he could not stand it. It drove him to the ground. The angel there had to continuously give him fruit to eat to give him enough strength to be able to lift his head. The angel said, we have to get you out of here because this is too much for your body. But he now understands how there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they are one, but yet they are separate, because he saw Jesus walking in amongst the Father, and the Father enveloping him. That was in there. Then we get down to the Holy Spirit. Now, if you recall from Psalm 51:11, David said, do not force me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. The men of the Old Testament had the Holy Spirit upon them for a season. I mean, if it would have stayed on, incineration, that body could not take it. And that was that's the thing. And King David knew what it was like to have that. This is a man who had committed adultery. Then, for his repentance, called the husband in, tried to get him to go with the woman because he found out he's going to have a kid. And then to help the repentance, we all know, send him up with a secret mission to go back, because the man would not go home with his wife, because, hey, it's not fair. My men are up there fighting. They're not with their wives. I'm not going to be with my wife. So the repentant David had him placed in the front lines of a major attack, and he died. People said he committed murder. He committed more than one murder, because that attack was not warranted. A lot of men died. But yet this is a man after God's own heart. Why? Because when the end result was, is that he did repent in turn. He had to repent of heart, and he was also thankful. But it's the Holy Spirit that I wanted to focus on there. Elijah, all the prophets, the Holy Spirit came upon them just for them. Whatever it is they had to do, didn't lift it. Till the next time. Elisha had double the anointing of Elijah. And there was a point. Now, this is the thing that I have to study out, because Elisha had the anointing. Elisha had double, but Elisha died. And he died of a, it said in God's word, he died of a disease, a chronic disease. I haven't studied that out. I'm going to have to look at it. But it says in 2 Kings 13, verse 20 through 21, Elisha died and was buried. Moabite raiding parties used to invade the country in the spring. That's verse 20. So now they buried this man who had twice the anointing of Elijah. The Holy Spirit comes upon him for a season to do what he has to do. Verse 21. One day, some of the people who were burying a man saw one of these raiding parties. So they quickly put the man into Elisha's tomb. In other words, ditch the body, let's get out of here. But when the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came back to life and stood up. That's the residual effect. I don't know if they ran quicker when that happened. Knowing some of the Christians today, yes. Some of our own churches who scream and say how much they love the Lord, if someone got raised up from the dead in their church, they would run in fear. And if they didn't run in fear, they'd probably accuse the person of being raised up by a demon. It's a sad situation. Now, we have two things there that we can focus on. We have God's temple. We have His Holy Spirit. Now, we jump ahead to 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple that belongs to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, whom you receive from God, lives in you. You do not belong to yourselves. So now this very temple, I'm not giving you anything deep here, obviously. I'm giving you all basic stuff. But this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What happened when Solomon's temple was dedicated? It filled with the glory, filled with the smoke. People couldn't get around it. That very Spirit that was in that, or in this temple, it comes into this temple, was upon Elisha just for, I don't know how long the man lived, but you could probably sum it up through his whole life into probably months that it was upon him, given a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there, and yet his bones had enough residual to snap a man back to life. Now, we have this Spirit within us continuously. What have we done? We're a mobile temple. What have we done? We have, I don't know about you, but I look at my life and I can see where I've cursed God. I have cursed my wife. I've made jokes about going to church in front of friends. I mean, after all, we don't want to be embarrassed, do we? What's my excuse? Verse 20. You were bought for a price. So bring glory to God in the way you use your body. Could also say temple, couldn't it? That same spirit that raised up those bones lifted Jesus up in the third day. It opened up that tomb. Like I said to our friend that ministered here before, you could not bring Jesus to a funeral because he ruined every one of them. You want a funeral, a good funeral? Don't bring Jesus. He showed up. It was over. Person was out of the box. It didn't matter on the time frame. How long was Lazarus in the grave? 4 days. Long enough to rot. Now he came. Who took off the grave clothes? People. Right. Not the Lord. But people. No. Right. Now, body should minister to its own. This little snippet I'm going to throw in John, and it talks about the Jesus being raised up, and that he ran in there, Peter and John. When did John believe? Folded and put in its place. According to the old Jewish tradition, if you went over someone's house and you enjoyed the food, you folded your napkin and put it down in its place. It meant that you intended to return. So, that folded napkin hit that Jewish man right smack in the face. He knew. Because no Roman that stole the body is going to fold up a napkin and put it on the side. Now, only, and folded had to be meticulously folded. And it was placed at the headstone. What's our excuse? This thing loves to roll, don't it? What's the excuse that I have or any of us have? We really have none. Because that Holy Spirit is also called what? The Comforter? The Teacher? Do we need to go to courses all the time, or do we just need to have this and get quality time alone? You start in on something here, then you meditate on it, you start asking questions of the Holy Spirit. He's your teacher, your guide. I'm putting Bob to sleep. Thank God I have achieved. So I'm only picking on you, Bob. Just having fun. But he's our teacher, our comforter. There's no excuse for me. I'm in a car. I have a CD player. Gee, what do I listen to? What radio do I put on? What do I listen to? You go down, like today, driving down the interstate, hoping to get home in time so I can spend a little bit of time resting before I come here. I hung up with my wife after I left McDonald's. I said, I'm going to McDonald's. Now I'm going to, what did I say? We're picking on the way my relatives talk, and I talk the way they did. But basically, I said, I'm going to put my foot in the throttle, but I said it the way they would. We got a good kick out of it. And as soon as I got up on the highway, traffic was dead stopped. 3 mile parking lot, 84 East. 3 lanes of traffic, nothing moving. 10 miles an hour. When I came up over the hill and I saw a semi through the guardrails, down in the woods, jackknifed. My first instinct was, does it say such and such a truck company? Because that's who I worked for, you know. I didn't want it to be anyone I knew, but it didn't. It was another company. And I felt bad because there was parts of the trailer laid up on the road. It shredded. I mean, it just took, didn't go through the guardrail. It took the guardrail down with it. What was I there for? Pray. You know, did I look down, oh, poor guy? No. Lord, protect him, protect his family. If he's already gone, help his family. because I don't know what the condition was. The truck was upright, which is a good thing, so odds are the driver survived. How many times have you gone down the road, gone by an accident, and said, oh my God, those poor people? Have you ever given another thought to go further or deeper? To lift them up? I'm sure the most of you do, because I know where you attend church. And I know you want long enough to know what you would do. And so many people don't. You know, the only reason they look is to see how bad it is if they know the person. And if they do know the person, they want to be the first one on that phone to spread the bad news. Generation without excuse. That is all that the Lord has given me. I can't go any further with it. Enough was said on the subject matter. Unless you have anything to add or have any questions. You ready for this? Healing takes time. A miracle is instantaneous. It's done. You praise God straight through it. Do not look at the size it is now. It does not mean that the healing power hasn't gone in. Don't even worry about it. And if you don't feel that she has the strength for it, then you need to stand firm. That healing went in. God's word does not fail. Yeah. My suggestion would be when you get home, get alone with the Lord. Say, Lord, I know you don't miss it. Show me where I'm missing it. And get alone. And you might not be missing it. It just may be something to process for you to see, to process through, so that when someone else goes through it, they go, oh my God, what is going on? You say, just hold up. It's okay. Well, that's it. There may be a door you have to close in the spirit that they cannot. Oh, well, I can give you a good example there. All of us have worn spiritual Pampers. You know, I mean, I love the term diaper man. It's wonderful. You know, you go out there and you... When I met this man... It was back in 1900. See, that's last century. We are old. We are punching way back. 1983. And I had shared this with him and with Doug, so I'm going to share with you that I have an aunt who said that after I got born again, she said, the one thing you have to learn is this one scripture, Matthew 18:18, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So that's defense, and that's attack. You don't want to be wide open. Now, at the time, there were many of us, and I know that there's three of us here right now that believe that. You know, you have a problem, you attack the devil, you come out there, you take that sword, you slice dice, and you just go for it. He has to go back. Well, Mary and I got married. We went to Colorado. We were out there for 6-7 years, something to that effect. 7. Come back here. We're in another church that is the same way, same kind of people. And a friend of mine has a daughter who has who had a problem with bedwetting and had a problem adjusting to things in school. And the young lady was not a young little toddler. More like this, and her back was all out of whack. And laid hands and I prayed for her, and the bedwetting stopped. Immediately, her back straightened out. So they decided that maybe they need to get together with me at my house. We'll do further prayer to get rid of any of the other problems that are coming up. Remember that night, Mary? 2 hours of prayer. I mean, nothing's going to stop me. I have the Bible. I have the Word. I know it. That demon is not going to stay in that girl. Long story short, it did come out. 5 years from that day, I was in an anxiety attack every single day. Because I didn't know at the time what was bothering her. It was not a little runaround demon, it was a principality. The Lord had mercy. She was taken care of. But I carried the blood of it, and she will tell you what we went through for the next 5 years. Lack of knowledge will destroy you.